old, and he had a stroke Christmas Eve. I'm not going to cry. He had a stroke Christmas Eve, made it through Christmas Day, Thursday morning, things changed, and he passed away Friday night. So I just want to say thank you to everybody that, that prayed for our family and that knew about it. It was quite a week. It's good to be home. Now I got to turn around and go back, but it is, it's bittersweet. He lived a long life. 32 years ago, had a heart attack on Christmas Day, and, the doctors told him he'd never make it off the operating table at that time, and he told him you'd never operated on a hard-headed old Oaky. And 32 years later, he was still alive. So that's pretty incredible. Blessed to have him, and just thank you again for being family and praying for my family. And I get the morning off this morning. I just get to bless you with Steve, our friend. And brother, I love you. And he's going to come and share the word of God this morning with us. So let's give him a hand.
Snow, and Steve was smart enough to leave his jacket of 20 years in the snow for somebody to have later. It was a blessing for somebody, right? It was my favorite jacket, though. It's now somebody else's favorite jacket. It's good to see everybody. Good morning. Welcome. I'm used to coming up and saying good morning and welcome. So welcome to Harvest Christian Center. It's good to see everybody. I'd like to start this morning off in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I ask this morning that you empty me. Lord, I ask that you empty me of everything that's of the flesh, everything that's of me, Lord. And I ask that you pour in and that every word I speak this morning, that it be of you and nothing but you. Lord, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Like most people, or if you're not, you know somebody, I'm not feeling 100%. I'm sure everybody out there knows somebody or is in the same position I am. So bear with me, please. The message this morning, Donna helped me a lot with this. This is the first time that I've done this where I've actually given the message and showed Donna the message beforehand. And she helped me a lot. So I want to thank you. And I hope it speaks to you this morning. And as most of you know, I like to lighten it up. So here's a story to start. I like this story. An old man from the mountains took a trip to the big city. He'd never left his small house in 60 years of life. He was born and raised on a small piece of property in a secluded mountain area. He entered a high-rise building in a large downtown city for the first time. And for the first time in his life, he found himself standing in a huge lobby with fancy decor and elegant paintings hanging on the walls. He was right in front of an elevator, and he watched as an old haggard woman hobbled on and the doors closed behind her. A few minutes later, the doors opened and a young, very attractive woman stepped off. You guys know where this is going. Amazed, he stood and watched as she passed by. Realizing the possibilities, the old man turned to his son and said, "Boy, go home and get your mama so I can run her through that thing." Yeah, Grumps, I heard you knew that was coming. It's the end of 2013, and for many of us, it's a time to reflect on the last 12 months. For many of us, it's a time to plan some life changes. Psalm 65:11 says, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. What a great promise for a new year. That's exciting, huh? Almost makes you want to make a New Year's resolution. Myself, I don't generally make New Year's resolutions, but I know many do. Many of us desire change. We want to change our looks. We want to change our size. We want to change our clothing. Some want to change their hair. I'm happy with my hair. Some want to change their hair. Or maybe some of us want to change something about our circumstances, but most of us start thinking about it this time of the year. And if you notice, most of it is outside stuff. It's not inward stuff that we think about. And not to sound too pessimistic, but it doesn't usually work, does it? If I ask for a show of hands this morning of those who had kept their resolutions made from last year, I wonder how many of us would raise our hands. Yeah, somebody laughed. Today's message is on change, so go ahead and if you would, go to Mark 10. I'm on Mark 10, 46 to 52. And as you go there, let me set the stage. Let me make sure you know where we're at in this particular story. In this story, Jesus is going to heal a blind man, Bartimaeus. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And when Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, he will be rejected by the Jews. He will be betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles, and he will be crucified on a Roman cross. Jesus is heading to his death at this point. As he moves, Jesus is surrounded by people who cannot understand just who he is. The Jews are blind to who he is, even though he tried to tell them and show them on many occasions. The disciples are blind to who he is, though they have seen him over and over demonstrate his identity time after time. And those around him would not recognize just who Jesus was until he died and rose on the cross. You see what's going on here as we get ready to set this stage. As Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem, he and his disciples are passing through the city of Jericho. Jericho means to smell or place of fragrance. It's a city that abounded in many plants, and it had lots of roses and cypress. Honey was also found there in abundance as well. So passing through realized that the name lived up to its, that the name of the city lived up to what it said. It had many different smells. And on this particular day, the roads of the city were jammed with people. All of Israel was on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and the road through Jericho was one of the main routes to the temple. People crowded along the roads to see Jesus as he passed through. The people might not have known exactly who he was, but they knew he was someone special, and they turned out to see him. Earlier, Jesus had entered this same city, Jericho, and he had encountered one of the richest men in the city, Zacchaeus, a tax collector. And Zacchaeus had climbed a tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus as he passed by, and Jesus had stopped and called Zacchaeus down from that tree, and he had saved his soul. So you can see it's exciting right now. There's a lot of people trying to get a glimpse of Jesus when this story begins. I'm going to try to get this. So here's our story. We're on Mark 10, 46 to 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he, Jesus, went out to Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude followed. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise. He, Jesus, is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, He rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man, Bartimaeus, said to him, "Rabbi, Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. It's a cool story. I really like that story. I think I like most of it is it's true. It's not just a story, it's truth. Let's take a little closer look at what's happened to Bartimaeus. Verse 46. Now they came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Bartimaeus was blind. And from what I could tell, from what I read from the different commentaries, apparently he was blind from birth. And this was a common condition in biblical times because of various diseases and sanitary conditions. This was not uncommon. There were many people that were blind at this time. He was also a beggar. The second thing he was blind first, and he was also a beggar. Because of his blindness, Bartimaeus was prevented from finding a job. He couldn't earn a living. In that day, there were no welfare programs, no charitable places he could go, no institutions that would help him. There's no such thing as Social Security. There's no such thing as a government program that could help him out. Bartimaeus was totally dependent upon the generosity of others. That was his only way of survival. He had it tough. He had it rough. He had a hard life. Verses 47 to 49. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many of them warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." Lots of stuff in that verse jumps out at me. And some of it made me laugh. Did you catch verse 47? The great multitude, or the throng. There's just so many people, just a throng of people that were on their way to Jerusalem, and they're following. And they said, Bartimaeus began to cry out and say, "Son of David, have mercy." And the people said, "Be quiet." This poor blind guy is calling out to Jesus, and the people said, "Be quiet. Jesus is busy. Don't bother him. He doesn't have time for a beggar." I wondered if we do that sometimes as Christians to somebody that's a non-Christian. Think about that. Don't bother the pastor right now. He's busy. Don't bother me right now. I'm trying to worship God. They did that, and they're telling Bartimaeus to be quiet, and then what does Bartimaeus do? He starts yelling louder. I like that. This guy's got guts. And so what does he do? He cries louder. And when he cries louder, Jesus stood still. And then what do the people do? They do a 180. "Hey, buddy, Jesus wants you. Come here. Let me help you take him to him. Hey, you know what? He wants to see you now." What a 180. We go from shut up to, "Hey, here, let me give you a hand. I'll go help you." It just cracks me up. But doesn't that take a look inside? Don't we do that? The tune of the crowd does a 180. Now they want to help him. And after they told him to shut up, now they said, "Hey, dude, I'm going to help you out." And the other part of the scripture that I thought was really visual for me, Bartimaeus cries out and Jesus stood still. Bartimaeus doesn't just cry out, though. He proclaims the name of Jesus. He says, "Jesus, Son of David." When he says that, he's telling everybody, "I know who you are." He's blind, but he knows who Jesus is. He doesn't just say, hey, you. He says, Jesus, Son of David. He says, Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you are my Messiah. Bartimaeus called out and Jesus stopped. What an awesome illustration of our Lord. We call out and He listens. He hears us. We call out and Jesus is there and He's standing right there. We just have to speak. What an example. What a great example Bartimaeus is for us. He calls out and he says, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, you are my Savior. Think about what Bartimaeus does, even though he's a blind, even though he's blind and begs as a means of survival. He does three things. He recognizes who Jesus is. He realizes what Jesus can do or will do for him. And he's not afraid to speak it. He's not afraid to open his mouth. Verse 50. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. When Jesus called Bartimaeus, he got up to go, and immediately the Bible says he cast away his garment. He threw aside his outer coat and he jumped up to Jesus. Think about this coat. You're a beggar, you're blind, and you're probably homeless, or as far as we know, he's got nothing. He threw away the only thing he had. That's it, guys. He threw away his entire being. Right? It's his shelter. Right? It's probably the only thing he owned, and he threw it to the side, knowing that when he comes back, there's throngs of people. You think that coat's going to be there? He got up, threw that coat, and went to Jesus. The coat must have been valuable. He must have known somebody could have picked it up and steal it. He must have known he could have lost it, and how would he replace it? However, his desire to get to Jesus was greater than his desire for his garment, even when it was all he had. The fourth thing that Bartimaeus does is he follows Jesus' instructions. He listens, and he does what he's told. He wanted Jesus more than he wanted anything else in this world. I found this, and I'll read it to you. There's a personal cost when you come to Jesus. Sometimes the cost is very high. Some have lost family and friends over a decision to follow Christ. Some have given up their homes and even their lives because they chose to follow Jesus. Everyone who comes to him has to give up something. Some sin, some wicked relationship, something. You simply need to know that however high the cost may be, in the end, that cost is very cheap when compared with the worth of your soul. Amen? Amen. God showed me a vision. It was kind of cool. After I went through all this, right, and I thought about the coat and stuff, my car, everyone knows my car, right? My Mustang GT red car, right? Everybody, if you don't know it, it's the one that looks just like, Alex's. The one that looks just like Alex's, right? We have twin cars out there. Anyways, I was thinking about how he left his coat, and he left everything, and he just immediately went. And I saw this vision, and God was talking to me as I was thinking about it, and I saw this vision of a whole bunch of people in downtown, right? Let's say a downtown city, right? And I was there, and I was driving the car, and there's just people everywhere, and I couldn't really drive it through all the people, but it was just tons of people. Think of San Francisco, Oakland, L.A., right? And I was driving the car, and Jesus called to me. And I had this vision that I put the car in park, and I opened the door. And for a split second, it was, do I leave the car running and run to Jesus? Or do I turn the car off really quick, slam the door, and as I'm running, click, click. Yeah, but that was the vision. Would I leave that car, right, in the middle of all that, as he called me, door open, in park, running, or would I reach in there real quick, grab the keys, and go, right, and get off?
You hit that dead on because garment represents identity.
Right.
Identity, what you're talking
And he was asking me that. Was I willing to do it? I had to think for a second. Think of something that you have. Are you willing to walk away from it and leave it in that throng of people? Your house? Your loved one? He just gave me the card because he knew that I'd have a hard time leaving it running with the door open and the keys in it. Bartimaeus greatly desired a change in his life. And his circumstances at this time of the year, many of us desire change and make plans or resolutions for New Year's, for the New Year. As I didn't say it, I called this message change. I'm sure you guys have figured that out. Bartimaeus looked to Jesus to help him make the desired changes. Who do you look to? A gym to help you get in shape? A self-help book that promises you will be different if? A new job, a new car, a new relationship, new circumstances? Who or what do you trust to help you achieve your desires change? Pastor Mike has talked on this very much, quite a few times. Jeremiah 17:5-8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see what good come, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness. In a salt land which is not inhabited, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Slow down, Steve. I wrote that. Slow down, Steve. I have a pet peeve. There's a song on the radio. For those of you that don't know, the youth will know this. Some of you will. It's on 102.1 all the time. And I listen, I don't like to listen to that station, but the guys at work do. And I let them. One of the songs on there says over and over, I can't change even if I want to. Most of you will know that, they know the song, know what it's about, and that's not what I'm talking about. Not talking about, I don't really care that the song was about something else. I care about that it said, I can't change even if I want to. I got all worked up about this song. And I would preach at the guys, and I would go off, and I'd say, you mean I can't change if I want to? What, I gotta be a jerk the rest of my life? Sorry? Am I gonna be an ass the rest of my life? Sorry, that word's in the Bible. Alright? But I'm serious though. I'd say stuff like that, and I'd get all worked up, and at work now they say, every time the song comes on, Steve, your song's on. Right? They love that. But if you notice what I said over and over is that I didn't believe that, I believed I could change. Donna pointed out to me, I can't change by myself. I'm trying too hard. I can only change with Jesus. But I got all worked up saying that I can do this because I hated that song so much. And I'd preach at them, and I'd get all worked up, and they, of course, laughed at me and would say, and would make fun of me that my song's on. God is so good. The other day, after Donna talked to me and straightened me out, right? I got to talk to Shane, one of my buddies, and say, hey, I'm wrong. Back there cutting, right? Everyone knows they work at Hula's. We're back there cutting, and we're working on veggies and stuff for the day. And I said, Shane, the song comes on, right? And he goes, Steve, your song's on. And I go, yeah, thanks. And I go, you know what? I'm wrong, and so is the song. And he looked at me, and I said, I keep saying I can do it. I can only do it with Jesus. I was able to share it with him. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, God. Right? But isn't that cool? But it's the truth. We do get worked up. I don't know if anyone else is like me. I don't like it when I hear things I know is wrong. But sometimes I get so worked up and I realize that it's me getting worked up, not God. He's got it. He's got it taken care of. He does it. If he needs me, he'll tell me, but he can take care of it. All right? So, yes, we can change, but we are cursed if we trust in anything other than the Lord to bring about that change. Amen? All right. Three times this month, I've had the opportunity to speak about Joseph. I taught Sunday school earlier this month, and the lesson about Jesus and Christmas story. I taught the youth the same one. The youth got to hear me spit all over them. I got all excited then. And then I changed it the third time, and I got to tell the story of Joseph for those that came on Christmas Eve. Okay? Joseph had an encounter with an angel, and it radically changed his life. He remained faithful to the message given to him by that angel, and faithful to the calling of God on his life. I've pondered why Joseph changed so much and why sometimes I myself and those of us change so little. Why did Joseph change so much and why do I change so little? Joseph received a message from God, from the angel, and was forever changed. We have the ability right now at any time to stop and listen. All we have to do is ask. And yet we don't let that change us. Why? Why do I do that? I kept asking that self. And listen to what Charles Stanley says. This is good. It's a life principle. Okay? His life principle. Listening to God is essential to walking with God. Listening to God is essential to walking with God. He expands that thought. One of the most important lessons we can ever learn is how to listen to God. And our complex and hectic life, nothing is more urgent, nothing more necessary, nothing more rewarding than hearing what God has to say to us. Charles Stanley has a personal story, and this is what he said. I used to be occupied doing the Lord's work, and I had no time to pay close attention to God's voice. I preached 6 times a week. I taped 2 television shows a week. I traveled across the nation. I wrote books. I pastored a church. I had a large staff. I had a broadcast ministry. I spent time talking to God, usually about my needs. Needs of my ministry and myself, but I did not spend much time listening to God. Charles Stanley, I ended up in the hospital for a week and out of circulation for 3 months. Charles Stanley goes on to say, if we don't learn to listen to God, we can make unwise and very costly mistakes. Charles Stanley paid very dearly for not listening. Why is it that sometimes it's easier for us to do God's work or what we perceive to be God's work than it is to listen to what he's saying? Donna came across another quote this week and it might shed some light. If you are interested in something, you will only do it when it's convenient. When you are committed to something, you will complete it at almost any cost. A meaningful change will take place. Douglas R. Andrew, author of Financial Planner. If you are interested in something, you will do it when it's convenient. If you're committed, you will complete it. Bartimaeus was not just interested in receiving his sight. He was committed to asking Jesus to heal him, and he cried out to Jesus with his whole heart. How many of us come to church on Sunday expecting to hear God? Right? How many of us read our Bibles and pray expecting to learn and hear from God? How many of us come prepared to meet God and record and write down what he says to us because that will help us throughout the week? And then how many of us, having written down what the Lord has said, consider it, meditate, pray on it, and apply it to our life? Do you see the progression here? I'm not bashing us. I'm not making fun of. I'm not saying anything. But that's a commitment. Are we doing it because it's convenient? Or are we doing it as a commitment? If you are interested in something, you will only do it when it's convenient. When you are committed to something, you will complete it at any cost. And only then will a meaningful change take place. If we desire change in our relationship with Jesus, or change in our commitment to the kingdom, or change in our lives to become more like Him, then we must be committed to that change, not just interested. I thank God for His mercies are new each morning, and that I can start fresh each day with Him. Lamentations 3:22-23. What a great hope we have as we head into the new year. Pastor Mike stepped out, huh? Alright. I got done with the message. I sent it to Pastor Mike. He read it and he told me it was fine. It was good. I thought about it for a minute and I said, it's fine. Like, alright. So I said again, Pastor Mike, give me an idea. And then I said, you know what? I want what God wants. And Pastor Mike said something to me. He said, when he read it, he said Jericho jumped out at him. So I went back and I did a little bit of stuff about Jericho. Some of the interesting things about Jericho. There's just some facts. Jerusalem will lie on the mountain. Jericho will be down here. Jerusalem is 3,300 feet higher than Jericho. And there are 18 miles between the two of them. The Jericho Road is 18 miles. The Israel, 20 inches of rain in Jerusalem, 8 inches of rain in Jericho. And the Arab word for the road of Jericho, the Arab word, I can't pronounce it, but it means road of blood. And even though all this is going on, you can see that there's a big change. Jesus is going from down here in Jericho up to Jerusalem. What Pastor Mike said was a lot of the priests, when they wanted a vacation for change, they'd go from Jerusalem to Jericho. Change in weather, change in height, change in scenery. But that was, there was a big change between Jericho and Jerusalem. And in my studying, I came to Joshua 5:13-15, and I'm going to read. This is the commander of the army of the Lord, and this is right before Joshua is about to attack Jericho, Their Israelites have just crossed the Jordan and are about to have their first encounter in the promised land, and here is how God shows up. Joshua has just crossed the Jordan River. All the Israelites have just entered the promised land, and this is their first fight. This is their first encounter in the promised land, and this is what happens. I'm on Joshua 5:13-15. And it came to pass, when Joshua was in Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us? Or are you for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. The thing that jumped out at me here is verse 14. So he said no. The commander of the army of the Lord's host said no. Joshua asked the angel, are you friend or enemy? And the response was no. Are you my friend or are you my enemy? He's just entering the promised land. He's got a whole group of Israelites, thousands, millions of them behind him. He's ready to fight. God has said, this is your place. This will be your land. This is a warrior. He's got his sword on his side. And he's got God standing in front of him. An angel standing in front of him. And the angel, and he says, are you friend or are you foe? And the angel, or God, says, no. That really made me think. Right, yeah, it really made me think. The Lord is saying here, Joshua, I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over. This is a call for Joshua to surrender to the authority of the Lord. For Joshua to trust in the Lord in the coming battle of Jericho. Remember, Joshua will be told he will take the city of Jericho without using that sword. He will use only voices and instruments to take down the walls. These walls were 20 feet high, 8 feet wide, and a second wall 12 feet high. And they're going to take it down without even using a sword. The Israelites will conquer this first city in the promised land that the Lord has given them without raising a sword. They will conquer a city that everyone believed was invincible. The Lord wanted him to surrender. The Lord wanted him to give. The Lord wanted him to change. And the Lord wanted him to realize he's in charge. Pastor Mike and I talked about this. Joshua, a soldier, laid down on the ground like that, face down. What did he give that? What did he give him to the one holding the sword in front of him? Pastor Mike said it. He gave him his neck. He was vulnerable. He gave him everything. The soldier gave up everything at that moment. He changed. And the next thing he'll do is the next fight he has will be all God's. When we give everything, our next fight will be all God's and none of us. Amen? Today, are we willing to say, Lord, I can't fight these battles, but you can. I can't win these victories I need in my life, but you can, Lord. Are we willing to say once and for all, I can't, Lord, but you can? Are we willing to make the change? Are we willing to make that change in our lives? Are we interested or are we committed? Are we just going to leave our coats and run? Or are we willing to lay our coats down and run? We're willing to lay it down. Are we willing or this is another thing that God showed me. Or are we going to go do this? We're going to drag this stuff around with us wherever we go. Are we going to drag our junk with us? Or are we going to drop it and go? The last thing I have is the last thing. Pastor Mike, I see Pastor Mike. He's ready. No? You're not coming up? I think you are. Yeah, I think you are. I sensed it. The last thing I had was, this morning I asked God to change my heart. And what I saw was, it was kind of in that soldier image that I saw him in. And he had my heart. He took my heart and he handed it back to me. He took my heart and he handed it back to me. He wanted me then to give it to him. I saw it and it was like, whoa. Right? But that's what he wants. He'll take your heart, but you got to give it to him. He's not going to take it from you. Amen? Amen. You ready, dude? I in the back, I told him, I said, I just feel like he's supposed to come up, and that at any time, you can come up. I saw him itching there.
I'm just a little rattled, so we're good.
All right, well, go on up.
We're gonna pray, and, yeah. How did you do? I stepped out for a few minutes.
Everything goes away. And with a beggar, he probably didn't have shoes. He probably has one there. That's what God wants us to do. Are we willing to take a step forward into that place that he really wants to give us? Of eternity? A place of the eternal now, where we can live in that great and glorious place. not in the future, but right now.
Lord, I want it now. Lord, I desire more than anything than to see you be God.
Oh, yes. Yes.
To see you be God. To see your name lifted on high. To see you glorified in this place of God. To see your kingdom manifest now, Lord. Lord, that we would get out of the perspective that the kingdom of God is for the end of this life, but Lord, that it would manifest right here, right now in our lives, Lord. That we would see it in one another, Lord God, that we would choose to see the good in one another, that we would bless and that we would not curse, oh God. Lord, the word is very close to us, Lord, and it is in our heart and it is in our mouth. Lord, right now we lift up Jeff to you right now, Lord, our brother. We lift our brother up to you right now, Lord. That your spirit would come upon him, Lord, that you would minister to him in his need. Right now, Lord, you know where he is, you know his need, you know what it is, oh God. And Lord, I pray that he would have an encounter with the God of man. That no man would intervene, that no hindrance, no distraction would come upon him, Lord. But Lord, that he would find himself in an encounter with you, that no man will stand in the way of. That he will encounter the very presence of the Spirit of the living God. I pray for his soul, O God, and for the freedom, O God, that is only found in Christ Jesus. Yeah. I thank you, Lord, that there is no condemnation in Christ. That all things have passed away, O God. That all of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ are as far as the east is from the west. And I thank you, Lord, and rejoice that your righteousness is imputed on Jesse's account and on mine and on all of ours in here that call you Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for your love. Yes. Nothing shall separate us from that love. But I bless each person that is here right now.
Yes.
That the peace of God would envelop them, Lord, in these times. Lord, there are many trials, there are many things that are going on in the lives of people. Lord, may our lives be full of grace and truth. We give you the praise, Lord. We give you the glory, Lord. You alone are worthy. We bless your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you and have a great day.
How are you?